say about the bottom of the call at the moment.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Your word, O Lord, is true. Consecrate us in the truth. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are one. When I was with them, I protected them in your name that you gave me, and I have guarded them, and none of them was lost, except the son of destruction, in order that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. I gave them your word, and the world hated them, because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So a little demographic data for you. In 1997, which was the year I graduated from eighth grade, we're at St. Teresa, 73.5% of the city kids in the state of Iowa, so kids growing up in Des Moines or Sioux City, Quad Cities, Dubuque, Iowa City, Council Bluff, 73.5% of them were one generation removed from the farm. So virtually all of us still had aunts and uncles on the farm, and in the summers, right about this time of year, we'd get farmed out to go and help in the summer. And so I spent pretty much every summer of my childhood either down south, Derby, Humiston, Melrose with my Uncle Eddie, Osceola with my Uncle Harold, or up north with my Uncle Tom near Okoboji. And most of the kids that I grew up with did the same thing. It might not be the whole summer. Kids, especially from families with more money, might have had a chance to go to summer camp or something too, but pretty much everybody still had something to do with a farm. I surveyed my kids last week. I've got fewer than 10 in a school of 300. Now that is a massive change in the life and dynamics of our state in not a real long period of time. But I think it's important, especially for us in the church, because today's feast, that of Isidore the farmer, literally Isidore the plower, Labrador in Spanish means like the tiller or the plower, was hugely important in our part of the state for a long time. At Dowling, as you go in where the new chapel is now, they have the kind of wall of windows, and Isidore is still up there. But in that rank old chapel that used to be a janitor's closet that I had to go to, there was only one really clearly visible window, and that was of Isidore holding his plow. Of course, as you came into Dowling in those days, there was a big memorial to the Catholic Rural Life thing too. But the point is that the spirituality of our state was really born out of people working the land. And this is not meant to romanticize farm life. It's hard. My folks left the farm on purpose and came to the city. Like, I get why people chose against. But there is something important at the bottom of farm life that is different than living in the city. And that is this. You can work a whole season, do everything exactly right, and a single storm blow out all your work. And that is harder to have happen with most of the jobs that most people work now. It can, obviously, real bad storms can like knock over houses and things, but it's not like the whole of a year's worth of labor is gonna not exist anymore, which is precisely what happens when we work the land. And that's true whether the land we work is in Iowa or in Michoacán. The reason it's important, though, and the reason that the church really saw such great value in the spiritual lives of the farmers of this part of the world is because what this forces us to do, done rightly, is depend upon divine providence. See, the storm can blow out everything anyway. We're just comfortable enough, sanitized enough, removed enough from danger and destruction that we get to ignore it most of the time. But the farmer can't because of the work that he or she does. The farmer is forced to rely on providence in a way that you and I are usually able to ignore, or at least keep at arm's reach. The stories about Isidore to us today sound like fairy tales, but they're telling us an important truth about how farmers 1,000 years ago in Spain understood the role of providence in their own lives. So the stories about Isidore, you know, tend to go something like this. The other laborers, because he didn't own the land, right? Like, none of these people owned anything. That was the point. Some rich guy owned it, and he had to work it. So Isidore is a hired man, and he's supposed to show up at a certain time for work, and he's late because he spent too much time hanging out in church after Mass, or because he got distracted saying his rosary on the way back out to the field. And so the other farm workers are complaining about him, and so the master goes to snag him and beat him up for being late. And he sees him praying, and then he sees the plow running on its own out in the field before John Deere. His wife, Maria, also a saint, thanks be to God, would keep a pot of stew on the family hearth all the time because she never knew how many poor people he was going to bring home to feed. And on more than one occasion, he brought home too many poor people, like there wasn't enough soup. And she'd say, "Sweetheart, we don't have no more soup." And he'd say, "Go check it. I think there's more." And miraculously, there'd be more soup. Okay? Now, again, this stuff sounds like fairy tale, and perhaps pious exaggeration creeps into these things. But the important piece here is that the people realized that God took care of his own if his own were willing to trust him. The trouble with most of us is we would really like to hedge our bets, right? So we plant, and we water, and we fertilize, and we pesticize, and we insecticize, and we do everything. And if that's not good enough, we'll change the genetic structure of the plant itself just to make sure. Now, I'm not saying this is all wrong, but you see where our own human tendency or desire to be in control can impede our ability to trust in the way that we're meant to. This is what Jesus is talking about in this consecration to the truth. To consecrate literally means to dedicate or to set apart, right? And so it's holy making. And so it's not like Jesus needs more consecrated than he already is, even though he says, "I consecrate myself in the truth." He's trying to establish for us what our right relationship is, first to him, through him to the Father, and because of him to the world. And saints like Isidore and Maria show us precisely what that needs to look like. These great patrons of Spain were not priests or religious. They weren't missionaries that traveled far from home. They probably never went more than 10 or 12 miles from home. They weren't professional religious people. They probably couldn't read. But that did not impede their contemplation, their ability to grow in faith, hope, and love. They didn't have catechism classes like we do now, but they knew to attend Mass every chance they got, would go to confession frequently and make as worthy communions as they were able. This isn't rocket science, guys. Like, the faith is not meant to be hard in that sense. It's arduous in the way tilling a field is, and it depends upon divine providence. But it is not meant to break us. It is meant to make us. It's also worth noting just this one line from the Acts today, because I think it shows us often how Jesus works in unexpected ways. So this is called a hapax legomenon, like it's a new saying. All right. So listen to this. In every way, I have shown you that by the hard work of that sort, like plowing a field, we must help the weak. And keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself has said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Where does he say that? Yeah, right here. That's the only place it's written down. It's not in the Gospels. Which is important, because at the end of St. John's Gospel, when he says Jesus said and did many other things, so many that if we wrote them all down, it would fill up every book in the world, right? It was true, and he did in fact say other stuff. Now, this is just one example, but how many times have we repeated this, maybe not even known where it came from, and realized it was his too? So often is the work at which we spend our days, whether that's in a field or in an office or someplace else, and every time it's performed with an act of trust, the genuine virtue of hope, it draws us closer to him, and in the long run, makes us more like him.